And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. This week, I'm coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. Of course, we just got back from our trip to Israel. Man, we had a fantastic trip, and I so wish that one of these times you might go with us, or if you're looking forward to going to Israel at some point, a trip of a lifetime, as we always say. It's a great trip, and I would love for you to come and go with us. This next year, actually, 2016, you're going to have plenty of opportunities if you would like to go with us. And let me give you those dates. But before I give you those dates, I just got to tell you, we had a fantastic trip. I hope you listened to the Q&A while I was over there, and interviews with Dad on our weekend radio program talking about everything that we did. People ask, ever since I've gotten back, man, were you safe while you were there? We've been watching everything that's happening in the news. Well, let me just tell you, stop watching the news. We were perfectly safe. We had a great time, plenty of protection in the land. In fact, I felt safer in Israel than I do in my own city of San Antonio, Texas, or really just about any city in the United States. Is it the same safety? There are things that are happening in the land, and we report on those weekly. We'll tell you about the conflicts that are taking place, the different incidences that are happening throughout the country and Israel and the Mideast. But really, as we were there, we didn't see anything. And some of those things that are happening in places where tourists never go. Let me remind you that the conflict is not with tourists that are coming to the land of Israel. The conflict is between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and that's that takes place in certain parts of the cities where tourists never go, certain parts of the state where basically the tourists never go. And it's our responsibility when you're there to make sure that you're safe, and along with our Israeli guides and our bus drivers and our land agent that's there, we have a network of security where we're in touch with what's going on, and we won't ever put you in a place where you're going to feel in danger. We really, I like living. I don't have a death wish, but I am so thankful that people are going to support Israel in this time. There were plenty of groups there I know that we ran into, and we had other churches that were there, other large groups. If I gave you their names, you would know who those ministries and those ministry leaders are, and they had many people that were there traveling throughout the land. And it was a great time to go. Let me give you our dates so that maybe you might think, you know what, I can start planning now. You might have a bucket list that you want to let your maybe your kids know, or your you might want to start saving up for. Put these dates on your list to go to Israel and to go to Jordan with us next year, February 24th. Through March 8th, February 24th through March 8th. Of course, when I give you these dates, the first you can figure the first 10 days would be just the Israel portion. And then if you want to go on to the Eilat extension or to Petra, you add the another 3 or 4 days onto that that number. So February 24th through March 8th is our first trip. That's coming up. That'll be just after the rainy season. It's a great time to go. The weather's still not hot yet. The flowers are out, the blooming flowers in the desert. It's a beautiful time to go. The country is green all over, and I like that time of the year. Our second date, May 4th. Through the 17th, May 4th through the 17th. And that's a good time to go also. You're just getting ready before the summer season starts. And that's a good time when kids are out of school, families would like to go. We would love to have families go with us. It's a great time to, in fact, that there's nothing better than to be in the Holy Land. Traveling through, looking at Israel past, present, and the future, what God's plan is for the future of Israel as you're in the Holy Land. And then at the end of the summertime in September 21st through October 4th. So those are our three dates. They're also on each one of those trips, the February trip, the May trip and the September trip. We also have a Turkey and Rome package that if you'd like to keep going, after you do Israel and Jordan, you say, you know what, I want to do the seven churches of Turkey, I want to do Istanbul, and then I would like to go to Rome. That's a great trip, and you can just tag on, you can go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and from there, click on the left-hand side, look down that column on the left-hand side, you'll see Joshua Travel. Look on Joshua Travel on that portion of our website, and that'll give you all the times, the dates of what we're going to be there, the itinerary, what we'll be doing, what we'll be seeing, and I think that you will find this a trip of a lifetime. I'll be here tonight for our Q&A session, but I leave this weekend, and I'm going to Paris, Illinois. And I will be there with the church, a community Bible church in Paris, Illinois, where I will be a speaker for their 30th anniversary. Looking forward to that. And we'll be talking about how Bible prophecy really fits in and motivates us to be evangelistic in the way that we live our lives. Understanding where we are in God's timetable. Really, if you've listened to us, you've listened to Dad, our programs, you understand that Bible prophecy is there not to get us all caught up in sensationalism and trying to figure all these things out, but to motivate us to live a pure and holy life in an unholy world and to understand the urgency of the hour, to be about telling others about Jesus Christ, about what he's done, how God has sent his son, as his plan of redemption, of redeeming, of restoring a relationship with mankind, and where we are, how it all plays out in the end, and why we need to be involved in our churches, in mission, evangelism, not only around the world, but just in our own neighborhoods, in our own towns, in our own communities. And so I'll be there in Paris, Illinois this weekend. If you are interested in that area, that's about 2 hours, I believe it's 2 hours west of Indianapolis. And you're welcome to come and be with us. And I would love to meet you. A lot of people will come to our meetings and say, I listened to you. It's great to talk to you. We'll have a Q&A session. We'll be talking about missions and evangelism. And then Dad will be, Mom and Dad will be, and they're on the road. I mean, I'm just amazed at how much they're on the road. This last weekend, they were in upstate New York, a city where we grew up. I grew up went to high school in Glens Falls, New York, and the Queensbury, Glens Falls area. They had a great meeting there with the church that they were at, New Hope Community Church in Queensbury. This next weekend, they will be in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, Dartmouth Bible Church, North Dartmouth, Massachusetts. And you can go to our website, click on our schedules. You'll find all that you need to know. I know that they would love to have you come and say hello to them and come to the meetings. They'll be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'll just be in Paris, Illinois for one day only, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Looking forward to being there with Pastor David Laborde. And, of course, Dad will be in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. So we really appreciate the fact that people come and say, you know, we love listening to the Prophecy Today radio network, the Live 365. We love using the podcast, downloading these and listening to them when we're traveling into work, as we're working. They're great to have for you to listen throughout. You can listen to our Prophecy Today radio network is on all the time, Live 365. That's live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we try to put all of our programs, I mix up some of the teachings that Dad does. We also have Dr. John Wickham. We throw prophecy teachers on there all the time, ones that that we think are very pertinent and have a lot of information to give. Of course, our Prophecy Today intelligence briefing that Dad does. It's just so much that's there on our Live 365. We've gotten so many great emails from people that say, thank you so much for having this on. Well, I keep it on around the house all day as I'm listening. And then our kids listen to it. We get our kids to sit down and to hear good Bible teaching as we look at the way that God has laid out future events, and how by reading the scriptures and understanding what the scriptures say, how we, all of us, can really determine how close that we are to the rapture of the church. And I believe that we're very close, and therefore I believe that all of us should take very serious our responsibility of telling others about Jesus Christ, about living a Christ-like life in the world in which we live. As I watch the news on a daily basis, I start seeing the things that are happening around the world. It's very easy when you see the news and you see so much sorrow and deception in the world to get very discouraged by it. But you know what? We have that. We have the answer. We have that blessed hope. We have information to give people to help them to survive in this world. To understand that there's a God that cares for them, that He has a specific plan for their lives and for our lives, for each one of us. He has a specific plan, and our responsibility is to find out what that plan is, what God has for each one of us to do, and to go out and do it. That's very important. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have dedicated our lives. That's why Mom and Dad, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father, has and they have set aside and they have dedicated their lives to doing this. And consequently, all of their kids, my brother and my sisters, were all involved in the ministry. We have grandkids that their grandkids, our children that are involved in the ministry and growing. And, we're trying to do all that we can carrying out God's plan for our lives. And I encourage each and every one of you, do not live in a spirit of fear. We are not given over to a spirit of fear. We are given to a spirit of love and knowledge and righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's how we're supposed to be living. And by doing that, we become a shining light in a dark, dreary world, in a dark world where, and really, that's when you think about it, that's our role in the body of believers, to give glory to the Lord in everything that we do in our lives and how we live our lives. Everything that we do should reflect the glory of the Lord in our lives. Well, this is a Prophecy Q&A program, and we need to get to some of those questions. And that's what we're going to do this week. And I've got a couple that have come in, and so we're going to try to get to those. I've got some, and I try to respond to everybody, whether it be via email. And I will get to you if you've sent in a question to us. I'll get to you with some explanation, sometimes detailed explanation, probably more than you're looking forward to getting. But you know what? That's okay. You can take that and use it. That's there for you to grow with, to study, to take that information with the scripture, scripture-based information, and then take that and you study it. And if you have questions about what we say, send us back an email and say, you know what, I don't agree with you. And we do get those quite a bit. People will say, you know, I agree with you on part, but some of this I think that you might be a little bit, have you thought about this? And we do. We think about it, and I'll respond. So through email or through our Prophecy Today Q&A program, I try to get to people. But here's one that came in from Mr. Lungisa Klaus, and I don't think he's from the United States. He says, dear Dr. DeYoung, or dear Mr. DeYoung, thank you for the thorough explanation on the Book of Revelation, and that we do, and you can hear that through our CDs, and we have a DVD, Revelation, a walkthrough. Dad really developed a great walkthrough, easy to understand, about how easy the Book of Revelation is to understand. As long as you just read it, you know, a lot of people don't want to take the time and they start getting confused and they don't understand that what they're reading is apocalyptic literature. And you need to be able to understand that apocalyptic literature. And sometimes it's just to keep reading in the scripture, you'll understand what that apocalyptic literature is that is being used. But we have a great book, Revelation of Chronology, the DVD series, Revelation of Walkthrough, the CD series, the Book of Revelation, and we teach it on all of our programs and our Live 365. So Klaus Luginsa says, thank you so much for your thorough explanation on the Book of Revelation. I have this one question, though. After chapter 4, verse 1, come up here, when the believers are taken to heaven, if I'm not mistaken, then comes the 7 years of tribulation. And you're absolutely right, Klaus. That's what takes place. That's what happens. The Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 talks about that event. That's where we believe that the Christians are raptured into the heavenlies. And the rest of chapter 4 and 5 introduces us to the throne room of heaven. And then chapter 6 begins with that first seal that is broken. That seal in that scroll that has been given to Jesus Christ in chapter 5 by God the Father who is seated on the throne. So in chapter 6 through chapter 19, we see that's the 7-year period of the tribulation period, all the way to chapter 19, verse 11. And then that's when Jesus Christ will return to the earth. That's when he physically comes back. That's Revelation 19:11. So Luginsa says, if I'm not mistaken, then comes the 7 years of tribulation. During the 7-year period, are all believers which were taken up to heaven not back? I think you're referring to, are they not back on the earth? Does that affect us at all? In short form, chapter 6 to chapter 19, are we here on the earth or are we in heaven coming back in chapter 20? Well, we're coming back in chapter 19, Luginsa. But you're right, we are in heaven from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19. And we're in the throne room. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are not here. He says, the reason I find it confusing is because during the 7-year tribulation, there are seals which are open, and some of them are at play now, and Satan is replicating God. Does that affect us, or would we be in heaven with God? Well, there are no seals that are being open or in effect right now, Luginsa. It begins, that first seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the man on a white horse that comes, that first seal that is broken, that man that comes riding on a white horse with a crown on his head with a bow with no arrows, that's the man we refer to as the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist, the first seal that is open after the rapture of the church, and there's a period of time. We don't know how much time. It could be 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, but there will be a period of time, and the Antichrist comes on the scene. He gains control, and the very first thing that he does is he confirms that peace agreement with Israel. That's Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 gives us the instructions that the very first thing that he does will confirm this peace agreement, and that's what starts that 7-year period of time, the tribulation period. So, and then after Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, comes 3 and 4. Now, I know that, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to understand that, but the first seal is the Antichrist. That second seal is a man riding a red horse, which is representative of war. And then, therefore, you have the third horse of the apocalypse, the fourth horse, the fourth seal, the fifth, sixth, and then you start going into the other judgments, 14 judgments that are what will be unleashed on the earth. So you have the seven sealed, the seven trumpet, and the seven vial judgments, and that's how they will be unleashed. So we do see that in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we see John first on the earth in verse 1, and then he is in the presence of God in the throne room of heaven in verse 2. With this in mind, we thus picture the rapture of the church in verse 1. The first voice I heard was as if it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's apocalyptic literature. That would be the rapture. And the next verse 2, shows John in the heavens. The That phrase, come up hither, may well be the words that Jesus will shout at the rapture to call us up to join him in the heavenlies. As we take our guided tour, so to speak, of the throne room in heaven, there are many things that we notice, like the rainbow over the throne, reminding us of God's promise that he would never again destroy the earth. Then there are the 24 elders seated around the throne. Notice they are clothed in a white raiment, and they have crowns on their heads. The 24 elders represent the church. I believe this to be true because of the number 24 is the number of representation. That's the number of representation in the scriptures. Only Christians will wear white robes, and we Christians will be the only ones who receive crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, it's the judgment seat of Christ that takes place. We also see the throne room creatures, the four beasts, which are actually angels. They are different than the cherubim and seraphim. These four angels, angelic creatures, sing holy, holy, holy 24/7. At the throne of God the Father. What an awesome place the throne room is of heaven, Lugisa. When you think about it, when that throne room, and we'll be with God the Father on the throne and Jesus seated at his right side. John the Revelator has given us a personal tour of the throne room in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Before we leave, notice that when the 24 elders do with the crowns that they have all received at the judgment seat of Christ in verse 10. And by the way, there are five crowns that we can receive that are possible for each and every single believer to receive at the judgment seat of Christ. The crown incorruptible, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, for bringing our bodies under subjection. And really, that's about living in a world where we're denying this world in which Satan has control over right now. Satan, the power of the principalities of the air, and he has made living in this world sometimes so desirable that therefore his main goal is to lead people astray, to follow after him. And by bringing our bodies under subjection and say, no, I won't do that. I am going to raise my children. I'm going to live my life as one that is pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to raise my family. I'm going to do those things that God wants me to do. You're going to receive a crown for that. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 is for being a soul winner. Anybody that has led someone to the Lord, and the only way that you can lead someone to the Lord is by going and talking to them and sharing with them what God has done for them. God has sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has provided his Son as that plan for mankind to have a restored relationship with him. And by doing that, by sharing with someone, it's the Holy Spirit that really brings someone to a saving knowledge, to convicts them, that helps them. But we must first go and take that message to people. And when you do that, you're going to receive a crown of rejoicing, a crown of life in James chapter 1, verse 12, for not yielding to temptation, the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, for building up the body of Christ. And I love that one. I am desirous of that crown. You know why I'm desirous? Because we lay those crowns back at his feet. They're not for our glory. That is to show myself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I have done what I have needed to do and what God's planned for me by telling others, by teaching the body of Christ. And any pastor will receive this, any ministry worker, any Sunday school teacher, people that have a small group, and you lead a small group, you open up your home so that people can come in and learn more about Christ. If you're doing that, you're gonna receive that crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5. And then a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8, for eagerly looking for Jesus to appear in the last days. And I have to say, I think everybody that sends us a question that follows Bible prophecy, that is wanting to learn more about what's happening, where we are in God's timetable, what's taking place, how to be prepared for the future rapture of the church for that time, and how our world and why it's acting as it is. You're interested in that because you're so desiring, and I so want the rapture of the church to take place. I want to make sure that I'm doing those things that I need to do to tell others, those people that I come in contact with that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I do look forward to the rapture of the church coming, and we're going to receive that crown of righteousness because of that. So those are the five crowns, and all of the things that we do, our deeds, will be weighed and tried by the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. And all of those things, that determines our wedding garments, the righteous deeds of the saints. So notice what the 24 elders do with their crowns in verse 10. They cast them at the feet of Jesus Christ to honor him and thank him for what he has done for each of us as Christians. Wow. What a day that will be. Therefore, we must work. We must really work to receive as many crowns as we possibly can so that we can lay them at his feet. And so, as in all of this, Lungisa, as you're asking your question, that's the first part. That's the first thing that we're going to do as we enter the heavenlies. And then in the sixth chapter, as I talked about it, the sixth chapter of Revelation is the prophecy of the of six of the seven sealed judgment that will come upon the earth and its inhabitants during that 7-year long period of judgment known as the tribulation period. Throughout the entire time of the tribulation period, there are 21 judgments, three sets of seven sealed judgments, there are seven trumpet judgments, and seven vial judgments that unfold. Those 21 judgments get progressively worse and will intensify as the tribulation period unfolds. These initial six judgments in Revelation chapter 6 are the beginning of the terrible time to come upon the earth. And a quick look at the six judgments reveal how the seals are broken on of the sealed book, most likely a single scroll book, and each seal is broken by the Lamb. In verses 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 12, the Lamb, of course, is the person of Jesus Christ who will bring these judgments upon the earth in the tribulation period. Another idea, a concept that a lot of people that think, well, there will be Christians on the earth. Jesus Christ is not going to bring these judgments on the church. We see that. And Lugisa, I mean, haven't even talked about the fact that when you look at the hermeneutics, the word church is mentioned 19 times in the book of Revelation, 16 times between chapters 1 and chapters 4. It's not mentioned. It's mentioned 0 times all the way from chapter 6 to chapter 20, and then the church is mentioned again. So if it's not mentioned there, then these judgments are not for the church. The judgments are released upon humankind on the earth after the rapture. All six of these judgments happen in the first 3.5 years of that 7-year long judgment period. In verses 1 and 2, we see a man riding on a white horse. We talked about him, who is the Antichrist. And he is this satanically energized person is the one who tries to fool the world into believing that he is the long-awaited Messiah. It's going to give you an idea of Satan's plan of deception. Verses 3 and 4 reveal a man on a red horse who comes to take peace from the earth. It's the judgment of war released upon humankind. The man on the black horse, verse 5 and 6, is the judgment of famine, which when it calls for a measure of wheat for a penny, that is referring to enough wheat to make bread for a family of four for one day at the cost of a day's wages. A penny in the times of the writing of the book of Revelation. Remember the hermeneutics. What was the writer writing about at the time? And that's how we determine some of these concepts, Lungisa. The fourth seal is depicted as a man on a pale horse. when the judgment is released, 1/4 of the earth's population is killed. And that will mean over 1.5 billion people killed as a result of this judgment. Again, I have to say, I believe that the rapture happens before this time of judgment for many different reasons. And here's one here. I don't know how, you know, people always say, well, you're not preparing people for that time because they believe that, you know, Christians are going to go through the tribulation period. How can you prepare anybody for the judgments that are going to be unleashed on the earth? Verses 9 and 11 describe those who will be martyred for their testimony. These are not Christians. They're not Christians, but people, Jews or Gentiles, who will come to Christ after the rapture during the first of the tribulation period, during the first 3.5 years. Remember, Revelation chapter 11 talks about those two witnesses that will be preaching, 144,000 male virgin Jews from Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14 are going to become evangelists. They're going to travel the earth, and they are going to be evangelists that will lead people to Jesus Christ. Only those people that have never had the opportunity, or if they did, they didn't understand the opportunity that God has provided through the death of his son, the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, to have a restored life. And so only people that will accept Jesus Christ during the tribulation period, should they not die, remember, 1.5 billion people are going to die with one judgment. You have the judgment of war, where you're going to have 5/6, I believe, of the Islamic world being wiped out. That's that second horse, man that's represented on a red horse that represents war. So there's a lot of people that will be dying, and not everybody's going to have that opportunity. But these evangelists are going to travel, and we're going to see people that will come to know the Lord. And verses 9 and 11 of chapter 6 talk about those that were martyred for their testimony. The sixth seal, verses 12 and 4, will be ecological judgment upon the earth, earthquakes, and in the heavens. These judgments that happen early in the tribulation period are events that seemingly are in the process of coming about today. Now, that's what you're probably thinking of. And some prophecy teachers, again, if they're wavering on when the rapture takes place, sometimes they put things and judgments and seals before the rapture of the church. And as a ministry, our eschatology, our study of the end times, we believe that the rapture happens and then all of these future events, 500 prophecies, will begin to unfold. So those are still things in the future. And a lot of these judgments and the things, and as a matter of fact, from Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 7 and 32 and 34, you can recognize that this is the time of his return to the earth. That's what he talked about. That's not this period of time that we're living in here. His return is not until the end of the tribulation period, that 7-year period of time, Revelation chapter 19. These judgments that happen early in the tribulation period are events that will take place. However, remember that the rapture of the church takes place 7 years before he comes back to the earth. That's what Matthew 24 is leading up to, his return to the earth. When you look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw Revelation 19 altogether as a great chapter. I love it. And then there's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 that helps us in looking at two portions of Scripture, Revelation 19 and Zechariah chapter 14. And it helps us to understand what will happen at the return of Jesus to the earth. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, tells us that there is no prophecy of the Scripture of private interpretation. That means that all Scripture, if there's one in Zechariah, it has to coincide with one in the book of Revelation. If there's one in Ezekiel, it has to coincide with one in Daniel or Revelation, all of these things, and understand where we are and as we read Scripture and as we study it. And these verses help us that they all fit like a hand in a glove and that they will not contradict one another. But let's notice first that in the first six verses of Revelation 19 are what referred to as the Hallelujah Chorus. Verses 7 and 10 are the details for the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage of Christ and the bride, the church, the bride of Christ, which is the body of Christ, the church, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we can discuss that, and we've discussed that before. Starting in verse 11 and going through verse 21, we see the prophecy of the return of Jesus and the campaign of Armageddon, which also includes events revealed to the ancient Jewish prophet Zechariah in the book, chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. And the events surrounding the Lord's return actually begin in Zechariah 14, the armies of the world gathering in Jerusalem. That's the armies that the Antichrist, the Satanic Trinity, they gather, the armies of the world. That's Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And the Antichrist, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet draw these armies of the world to the city of Jerusalem to wipe out the Jewish people. When Christ returns, this is what begins the campaign of Armageddon, that final battle that ends in the Jezreel Valley, but starts in Jerusalem. The armies of the world gather in Jerusalem, where Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet have brought them to the city through the means of signs, wonders, and miracles. That's Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. And remember, that's what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, one of the signs of his return back to the earth is deception. And that's what Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be using, signs, wonders, and miracles, which causes us as believers to be very careful about people today that are using signs, wonders, and miracles. And they're saying that this is in the name of the Lord. Be very careful. If it contradicts with Scripture, it can't be true. And so the armies of the world are gathered in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus will return to the earth, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, to the Mount of Olives, and the armies of the world flee to the north of Jerusalem and the Jezreel Valley for that final phase, the mother of all battles, the Battle of Armageddon. This is the time that the armies which were in heaven follow Jesus on white horses. Revelation 19, 14. We that are Christians who have been taken into the heavens at the rapture will come with Jesus to join with him and his rule and reign over the earth. You can read verses 15 to 21 of 19, Revelation 19, to see what happens during this battle to come. There are several other passages that will enhance your understanding of this, Lugisa, of how this end times event unfolds. Isaiah chapter 63, for instance, Ezekiel 43. These are all pertaining to this battle and how it unfolds. These events will happen at the end of the tribulation period, at least 7 years after the rapture. I would call it the devastation before exaltation. I like that phrase, the devastation before the exaltation. The stage is set for these prophecies to be fulfilled. The world is watching as all the events called for in Revelation 4 through 19 that will take place in the last days are in place. That means we are ever so close to the return of Jesus Christ. Just this reminder, the rapture is foretold in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Thus, we must be ready for the rapture to happen at any moment, perhaps even today. So, Lingisi, great question. I appreciate it. And this is one that we are using to help others, to teach them, to help them to understand where we are on God's timetable. You know, we as a ministry examine current events in the light of God's prophetic word. When you look at our website and you listen to the things that we talk about on our Prophecy Today weekend program, and as we talk to these men around, we're trying to help you to understand that there are events that are being set up right now that happen after the tribulation period. They're not prophecies, but they are the props and the characters on the stage, if you will, being moved into place. And that curtain is about ready to go up for the rapture of the church to take place. Well, I took all of our time today to talk about this event, but it's a great question, and it helps people to understand, because I think so many people get confused. Everything else happens after the rapture of the church. We must be prepared at any moment to be standing before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give an account as to how we have lived our lives on this earth at the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to do that? My prayer is that you are. My prayer for myself is that I will be ready and to give an account that I have done everything that I can do with my family and my personal life and my ministry that God has given me. And by the way, he's given me a ministry of speaking in churches and teaching people around the world and doing evangelism. But he's given you also a ministry, and you need to find out what that ministry is, and you need to do it. Time is short, folks, and with everything that I'm seeing that's happening around the world, we are so close to the rapture of the church to take place. I am ready. Are you? Let's keep looking up until.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jay Johnson inviting you to join us again next week for more of Prophecy Today. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported production of Shofar Communications in Chattanooga, Tennessee.